Let us pray together. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this day, the beauty of it. We pray now that our thoughts and our attentions would be turned to you and you alone. In Christ's name. Amen. How many of you have ever had a birthday? A friend of mine has plastered this past week, and since all my electronic stuff was off until Friday night, it just sort of all fell out. It's like opening the mailbox. This past week was her 50th birthday party. And she had birthday pictures and parties. And, you know, I'm not against birthday parties. I'm not against birthdays. I actually went to one last Sunday. I like parties. But is your birthday the most important day of the year? In your life, is your birthday the most important day? No. I mean, the birthday is good, but don't you want the other 364 days? I mean, don't you need those as well? How many of you enjoy the celebration of a wonderful accomplishment? When you break open the bottle of champagne, you toast each other on a job well done. How many of you remember some really good days in your life where you maybe just had the most beautiful child in the world? You got the job or the car. You remember those high moments, don't you? Our scriptures today are full of mountaintop experiences, but every mountaintop experience has the same common denominator. What does every mountaintop experience have in common? You can't stay there. In every one of them, you have to go back down into the valley, which so often is filled with the shadow of death and decay. So what do you do in the normal time? What do you do in the ordinary time? Peter tells us, and I'm going to shut up in a moment, because I want to hear about this. Peter tells us, as only Peter could, for he was brazen and he was bold, and he wanted you to know, the recipient of his letter, that I was there. I was there up on the mountain. I was there at D-Day in the Christian experience. I was there when Jesus Christ himself was exposed in all his glory. And I was there when Moses, representing the writings, and Elijah, representing the prophets, all confirmed that this transfigured one was truly God above all gods and Lord above all lords. I was there. Now what Peter conveniently doesn't communicate is he was also the one that put his foot in his mouth when he said to Jesus, you know, this is good. Can we just stay up here? But Peter had matured and he understood, no, we can't stay up there. We have to get back down to live in the muck and mire. But the older, more mature Peter was able to write that even though I was there, I have a much more sure foundation of my faith. That was good, but I'll tell you something even better. That inspired my soul, but there's something even better. You've got the Word of God. You've got the Word of God. There's nothing more important to us as believers living in the valley than having the Word of God. And one of my favorite organizations that I like to say I am a member of, they won't have me because I'm ordained. It's a lay professional group, is the Gideons. And they're all about taking that very simple Word of God and understanding its importance. They don't do what they do to give them something to do. They do what they do because the Word of God is that more sure foundation. If you could see, as Peter would say, either the glory of Jesus Christ revealed or the Word of God, Peter would tell you in the passage that Al read, go for the Word of God. Go for the Word of God. That's even more sure, and we'll hear more about that. As a boy, David Harker was a hero because I was 11 and he was a returning POW from Vietnam. As a man, he's become even more important to me because he's a brother in Christ, an elder has been at his church, and he's committed to giving the Word of God out. And he's going to come and talk to us about the importance of the Word.
When your words came to me, I ate them. They were joy and my heart's desire. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Jeremiah 16:18. Jeremiah knew those words. He ate them. He consumed them. We think so much of bread, of course, our physical bodies, but the Scripture speaks so much of the spiritual nourishment that we get from coming every Sunday and hearing His Word preached, expounded on, from being in our Sunday school time, studying in our study groups. All that we do here as Christians is based, this is our book. This is the Word of God Almighty. And this is what we should feast on every day. Unfortunately, we don't always. If you do not have a daily Bible reading, go to the Gideons.org, their website, and they have a daily Bible reading, and you can read through the Bible within a year's time, Old and New Testament. You know, I would encourage you that are not reading, read this. This, as your pastor says, you know, this day and age, with so much divisiveness, so much angst, just in the political world and in our country in particular, it's here. The truth is here. Right here. Not anyplace else. It's right here. And this Bible tells you the victory's already been won. You don't have to worry about anything. God is sovereign. It's here in this Word. And that's what we want to do as Gideon's International. Since 1908, at the Superior Hotel in Iron Mountain, Montana, they started giving out scriptures. And a lady said today, she read the statistics, it's dropped. The percentage of Bibles being put in hotels has dropped considerably. And we, even here locally, we are having success with the new hotels and motels opened out near the airport. And we have a system where we go in and we do a dedication service. As Gideons, we come in, and the managers, and they have been in agreement, and they bring the staff in, and they stand there, and we tell them who we are and what we're doing and why this is so important. We give testimony of people who picked up a hotel Bible and have been saved, and we thank them for their work, and we give them a scripture to have. And as I've gone room to room, it's interesting. The ladies that have taken me, I always ask them, are you, and they're usually ladies that are, you know, the housekeepers, what church are you a member of in there? All a member of a church. And one of them, as I was placing the Bible on the table, because I read a testimony of Gideon, and the Bible was sitting there open, the scripture, and that's what caught his eye. And he found out later from the motel owner, he said, I'm going to put the Word of God in a drawer and hide it. I'm going to put it up there because I'm a Christian. And so, you know, she said, put the Bible in a drawer. I said, no, it's there. She said, do you know what the first place people look when they, you know, come to a hotel room? They look for the phone book. Then she said, they open that drawer up and there's the Bible. So she had a different take on it. But God's Word is just, and there's so many stories of how this Word gets out of people, you know, who are saved through that mission work that we do. Your fingerprints are on 91,863,801 scriptures that were given out last year, our fiscal year that ended in May of 2016. You know, you're found guilty of helping the Gideons flood the world with God's Word. Since that first Bibles, 25 of them given out at that Superior Hotel, there have been 2 billion 100 million Bibles placed in the hands of people throughout the world through the work of the Gideons. And as your pastor said, we're just members of local evangelical Christian churches who come out and make it our work just to volunteer our time. Last year alone, we gave out those 91 million. But last year we also, at the end of our fiscal year in May, went to the air show at the Lynchburg Airport in the mud up to our ankles, and we were not completely prepared, nor were the people there that put on the air show. We gave out 4,900 testaments, mostly to children that came to the air show. Since our new fiscal year began June 1st, 2016, we've given out 10,500 scriptures here in the Lynchburg area. At the Day in the Park, we've done it there. We have even been down to Daily Bread. Back in November, we were at Daily Bread. And it's a joy. You can't imagine a joy to place those hands in those men and women and there was one child there. We gave her a testament. The people's faces, you know, when you give them that testament. And it's also interesting because when I'm passing them out, one of the men that took them, he says, he told me his daily Bible reading. He said, this is what I read this morning, my daily Bible reading. I'm a good Christian man. I said, pass that on to someone who's not saved. And another man came through and he says, I witness to people all the time. He says, there's so many hard-headed people down here. I've been trying to get them to understand, you know, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I said, keep trying. That's what we're all about. You know. Isn't that difficult? I mean, I just think within my own family, you know, I failed so many times, you know, to witness. You know, my mother did. She didn't. And all her grandchildren came to her home, sat around her table, and enjoyed her company. She, down to the child, are you a Christian? Do you believe in the Lord? And I think that's what we need to do, isn't it? Here am I, send me. You know Isaiah 6:8. The Lord said, you know, who's going to go? Who can I send? And Isaiah did not hesitate. And that's what we as Gideons want you to think about. Now, in the Gideons Association, we have monthly meetings. We have prayer meetings every Saturday morning where we pray for the ministry. We have a daily prayer calendar where we pray for our leadership. It's a very small bureaucracy that we have. In fact, every penny that this church gives, and you do budget money for us, goes to print these Bibles. It's still a minimal cost, $5 to print this Bible and this little testament that we give out so much, $1.25. So your money does not pay for anybody's salary. It does, you know, and not many organizations can say that. You know, Red Cross probably 50% goes to pay somebody's fee. But that's what you do. You pay for these Bibles, and we make sure these Bibles get out. Do you know your fingerprints are out there in Vietnam? Your fingerprints are in Liberia. All of Asia has been saturated pretty much. Europe has been coming back recently. You know, I think there's been a little revival there. South America. Can you imagine? And I can tell you, the other half of the world live like paupers. We live like kings compared to everybody else. And I can tell you, as an infantry soldier on patrol in Vietnam in these little villages out in the backwoods in the Khoi San area of Quang Nam province where I operated in the end of 67, until my capture on January 8, 68, I cried. I cried not because they needed democracy, but they needed to know the Lord. They have no churches out there. How many Bibles do you have in your home? Huh? How many Bibles do you have? And in those little villages and those little huts, those little mud huts, they're eking out a living off the land. There were no Bibles. But the Gideons came back into Vietnam in 2007. And since then, we put out God's Word through our Vietnamese Christian friends. And that's a unique thing about our organization. Americans don't have to get on a plane and fly to Vietnam. We've got Christian friends that we've recruited into the Gideons, and we've made them members, and they qualify spiritually and through their profession as businessmen, and they give out the Bibles. One of our dear brothers came from Indonesia, and every year what we have is our international convention. This year it's in Kansas City, and people from all over the world, our brothers and sisters from all over the world. Of course, you know, some of these countries, the the income, the per capita income per year is about $3,000. Heck, you buy a plane ticket to come here, but some of the men that do have money come, and on the way to the convention, they stop and come to our camps, our local camps, and tell us about the work. Our brother from Indonesia is an engineer and had a great work there. He came, he said, you know, it ain't the Muslims that are the problem. He said, it ain't a problem with any Muslims. He said, and it's a Muslim country, Indonesia. It's not a Christian country. He said, the hardest thing is getting around on those roads. We don't have any roads to get around on, and we've got to walk back up in the bush to give these testaments out. What a great story. And you don't hear these stories, you know. Yeah, in this negative world, God's word is going forth, and it's because of you. And you should be proud that your fingerprints are on these scriptures. Many of you have heard me tell about my capture, and I won't go into the details. It was January the 8th, 68, and we've been overwhelmed, ambushed, a squad of us who were away from our command post, by overwhelming probably a regiment of North Vietnamese troops, and they engaged probably a company size. They attacked us. They killed my commanding officer, my platoon sergeant, my platoon leader. 22 years old, 3 years at Virginia Tech. I should be finishing up my studies, and unfortunately I didn't. You young people, get your degrees. It's so important. Knowledge is very important, as well as this word. And we broke contact. We finally were able to fight them off and break contact. And we low crawled. We were doing an orderly retreat back to our command post. And they were all over the place. They spotted us again. We took fire again. Two more men were killed. As I'm lying there, knowing I'm not going to make it out because I've been trained. They didn't take prisoners. They did not. And I told my mother when I sat in her kitchen, I'll come home in a year or I'll come home in a pine box. They don't take prisoners. Not good for her to hear when she knows I'm missing in action. And that's what I had. I've been trained, and I had that mindset for 60 days or so after I got captured. They're going to shoot me. They're going to kill us. We have no benefit to them, and that's how they operate. And so as I'm lying there, and they're coming, and we're doing our best, and I know there's no way out of this situation. We have hope in the Lord, though, always. Eternity's there. But here, the physical part of me had no hope. I was going to die. And this word, like it came to Jeremiah and all the prophets, came to me. It's just a miracle of miracles to me. You know, that God sent his word, and it touched my mind and my heart to live as Christ, to die as gain. God's word does come. We've got to listen. Silence is important in this day. I cut that TV off a lot, and I read this more. Here is where it is, right here. You know. And so, as I'm lying there, all of a sudden, it's just overwhelming relief came over me and confidence that it's okay. Hey, my next thought was, I hope the bullet hits me in the head and I'm gone quickly. Instead, you can see I'm here today. But another miracle happened. It was about 11 months into my captivity, and it was a dark time. We had buried my first sergeant captain with me, and I can tell you stories about his heroism. Under fire and taking command, and just a little scraggly group, and he's helping us fight the enemy off. Richard Frank Williams, Francis Union Cannon, private first class captured with me, died just a few weeks later. Then Bill Port died, and then we had another man died, Edward Russell Grissett, a Marine, in November. Fred Burns was dying. Christmas time was coming up. It was supposed to be a happy time. We were starving. We were alone, estranged, away from our family, totally disconnected from the world, living in some little area of the world in prehistoric times. And our interpreter brought down this New Testament with the Gideon emblem on it, and I could have been happy. You talk about happy. The first thing I did, I started looking for to live as Christ, to die as gain. I had learned memory verses, and I'm not real good at memorizing and retaining things, but I found it. Philippians 1:21. I found it, and I was happy. And I was happy because now I had the light in my camp. I knew, and you can imagine, you know, how I started turning to God, and the cares of the world were gone, and this situation was overcome by my belief, you know. My prayer, I tell people, was, Lord, help me make it through. I want to get home and see my family, all my friends, and be back in that world that I know, the reality of life. And then my prayer became, it doesn't matter. I'm another child of the kingdom, and it's not of any importance whether I come back. What's important is I have a relationship with you. And so I grew in faith. I grew in this little testament there. It was March 1970. Denny Hamlin was dying, a Marine. And Denny said, David, he said, I know you believe something. And you say, well, he recognized your Christianity. And you know what? I think of the opportunities I missed to witness to men. When the discussion came up with religion, and they knew I was a believer, but I never went individually to people, and that's why I always am working on that in my personal life and encourage you to. We need to get the word out. And the only way we're going to do it is person to person. Say, hey, would you come to church with me? Do you know this man? And you can tell him your story. In the back is a plan of salvation. And Denny Hammond and I went down around to the tree, knowing the guards wouldn't come down around there. And if they came in the compound, somebody was going to let us know. Because an interpreter had forgotten to get this Bible back in December of 68. He was supposed to get it back, and we hid it. We secreted it away in the thatch of that roof. And even men who did not know the Lord had read it, because there was nothing else to read. And in my inadequate way, I told him, I said, this is, you know, at West Ventura Baptist Church when I was 9 years old, I felt the love of God. You know, I've been going to church 9 years old, you know, don't know a whole lot. But, you know, I knew enough to feel, you know, and I walked the aisle and made a profession. And I said, you know, I believe this man, this Jesus Christ, you know, who walked this earth without sin, I told. And then I went back to this plan of salvation and used that. And there are a lot of guys in here, I don't know whether you know, but, you know, help in times of anger, anxiety, bitterness, all the references in here. Get you a little Gideon Bible book. It's really a good guy. Denny Hammond, when I got through, he said, David, he said, I believe you. He said, I believe what you're telling me. I had prayer with him right there. That night, lying on a bamboo bed, when sun went down, we went to bed. We didn't have any kerosene lanterns, anything. They had them, and they would come do a head check every 30 minutes. But anyway, we're lying there, and he says, guys, I want you to forgive me. He said, I haven't been the best person in the world. 3 days later, we buried Denny Hammond. Only God knows Denny Hammond's heart, what he believed, and his coming to faith. I know what I believe, you know. I believe he was sincere in his thought, and his willingness to ask people for forgiveness the way he treated them tells me a lot. But if we don't send this word out, you know, people will be lost. And there's a lot of mission work, a lot of great mission work that's going on. Southern Baptists have done a great mission work over there. They have medical missionaries. My mother's cousin was in Tanzania for 20 years. He dedicated his life to a little outpatient clinic out in the bush country. You know, that's just, but you don't forget that you know the Lord and that you need to just grab your brother and sister. And you know, sometimes I think, you know, I'm not a real bold witness, you know, but here over the years I've become more bold. I walk in Windhurst every day. You can wave, honk and wave if you want. And I have friends that do, and sometimes I don't know who they are, but I'm walking, and I'm coming up right there near the summit, and they're putting up a new building, and I hear and I understand they have Mexican workers up there on that building. And I know that because I've been hearing them, I've seen them. I said, wait a minute, this is a great opportunity. I got in my Corvette and drove back home where I had Spanish Bibles, and I happened to have about 30 of them. I put them in the Corvette and drove them back up there. And I found a foreman, young Mexican guy. And I picked him out, and he was there at the pickup truck. And anyway, I said, are you in charge? He said, yeah. I said, I want to give these out. And I told him what I wanted to do. I said, your men need this word. You know, I want to make sure they give it. It's in your language. You know, he said, great. He said, you can go up there and give them to them now. I said, well, I don't know whether I want to get up on a scaffolding or not. In fact, I said, I trust you enough. The Indians are supposed to. We don't give Bibles except to chaplains in the military. We can let them, because sometimes we can't get on military bases. And we give them to chaplains in prisons, because some of the prisons, you know, the Indians can't get in. They do let different Christian groups come in and do Bible studies. But anyway, So I, you know, was really being pretty bold letting these scriptures go, but I trusted that man. I said, make sure they get them when they get down and get ready to go. He said, I will. He said, do you have any English testament? I said, I do. He said, I'm dating an American woman. I want to give her one of these. So, hey, the Word of God. And see, what I don't know is, and what I'm handing them out in these mass distributions we do, like the airport, John was there. Thanks, John Wingfield's now one of us. And if any of you men want to join out of this church, talk to John, talk to Pastor Tom, and we'd love to have you come join us. We need, you know, it takes more work. And there's so much more we can do with more numbers. And we want to get this word here, out here in Lynchburg, as well as other parts of the world. But I just wonder, you know, and I've had children, I was at the Christmas parade a few years ago, hand them out, and this man's got his son's hand, and he's on the outside of the street side. They passed down a curb to go around me, and I reached down and put one of these testaments in the little boy's hand. As I'm doing that, the father is horrified. He's trying to grab that kid and pull him away. He said, we don't want one. By that time, the kid had it. He had it in his hand. I said, great. I hope the father reads it too. You know, because you don't know. When that little Bible goes in homes, I finished giving a little Gideon report up at Living Word Baptist Church up here on a Wednesday night years ago, and a woman came to me and she said, you remember me? You coached my son in Little League and Dixie Youth Ball. I said, oh, sure. I remember. I took your son home one evening. She said, I got a story to tell you. She said, my father was a Korean War vet or a World War II vet, and he went to McGuire Hospital, the VA hospital in Richmond, for treatment. He went down there, was having some physical problems. She said, he came home with one of these little testimonies, and he says, I've been saved. He said, we all laughed. She said, my father never knew the church. We'd never been in the church. We didn't know who the Lord was. She said, sure. Do you know what? She said, before it was all over, we were all going to church with him, and we had all walked the aisle and made a profession, accepted Christ as our Savior. So many stories like that. But we do have Isaiah 55:11, that the word will never return. And if God said it, it's going to happen. If God said he's coming again someday, it's going to happen. If God said, you know, I've made a mansion for you, and I'm going to have you and receive you someday in that place, it's going to happen. And that's what we rely on, and that's what you rely on. And that's why this work that we're doing, this mission work, that the men and our wives, you know, are doing, and our wives are, and some people complain because the women aren't involved, but the women almost have become, and it was pretty exclusively for men, and although in 1908, the women, the auxiliary wives, was formed, and they have kind of a minor role of praying for their husbands as they went out, but now they're on mission with us, passing out these testaments. So things have changed, and I don't think it was and affront the women, that's just how it happened. But this word is so precious. Read it. Enjoy it. And thank you, Pastor Tom, you know, for coming. There are two things before I close. I have some information with me. Don't take it unless you're going to read it, okay? It's like these Bibles. You know, I tell people, you know, read it. And I may have told you I was in Virginia Tech a few years ago, opening day of class, and all the Gideons throughout the state go and join the Montgomery County camp, because they don't have enough members to pass out these, and we have different locations on Virginia Tech campus. My alma mater, I was happy to be there and get a pamphlet school of business, passing these out, and I caught my eye walking, and I missed him across this concrete. There were other Gideons around, but I saw that nobody was a Gideon. I yelled at him, I said, are you on one of these? And I go across this concrete path, and as I'm approaching him, you know, dead silence, I said, do you want one of these Bibles? He said, is that Catholic? I said, no, you know, he's down in Middle Eastern. I said, I ain't got time to talk to you about this Bible. I got to pass out more Bibles. But you've got to read this. It's like your textbook. If you don't read your textbook, you aren't going to do good in class. Read this Bible. Read it. It tells about Jesus Christ. And so off he went. And about an hour later, I'm standing there, and I see the guy again coming back with his backpack on. He reaches in his backpack. He pulls out his little testament I've given him. He said, I read. So I hope he read that, and if he did not know the Lord. And another one said, you know, it's been a long time. I engage him just for a second or two. since I've read this Bible, he said, you know, I need to read it again, and I hope he read it too. But this is just, and this tells kind of the magnitude of our work. Sometimes we miss it. This tells all 199 countries and the United States of America, 200 countries, where the Gideons are. It'll give you the country. It'll give you the date that we began work in that country. And you notice, really, the 50s is when we took off going into other countries. It'll tell you the population of that country, the per capita income, how many Gideon camps, that's just an organization of Gideons, are in that country, how many Gideons and auxiliary members, the wives of the Gideons, and then how many scriptures have been distributed in that country. It's just a one, I mean, that's pretty boring, but I find it pretty, hey, you know, even being a member, it just is mind-boggling to me, you know, all that's done. But it's done because God does it, not because I do it. I'm just one of many men and women who are doing the work. And then we always have these bulletin inserts. But if you'd like to have one of those, it just tells a little more about us. And maybe some more information in here you'd like to look at. Again, thank you. Oh, in the back, you've seen it. It's back on the water cooler. It's just a rack that we have with these in-memory cards. And it, rather than going to get a Hallmark card saying, you know, we are sorry for the loss of your loved one, you can get this for free. You can send it to your friend. And inside, you can send us the $5 you'd pay, or six. Boy, they've really gone up. They're probably seven or eight. But you can get whatever amount you want for a Bible in memory of that person. And you know, those flowers fade away, but the Word of God, this Word will go on. So if you would like to use that, that's a wonderful, and I've used it a lot. And when my father passed away, he was a wonderful Gideon. It's just, I mean, we got, I can't remember, maybe 500 Bibles. And that Word went out. But we also had it in recognition. If you have a friend you just like to recognize or something, or you're thinking about somebody that's not feeling well, again, you give us the money and we'll buy the Bibles and you can send the card. But again, all that you do here, don't underestimate what you do. You know, the Lord multiplies it. But do not, you know, hide your light under the bushel. Please, please. And pray for me as I do what's called a personal worker's testament. As Gideons, we are supposed to buy Bibles ourselves with our own money, in addition to us giving to what we call a faith company. And we're supposed to, once a week, approach someone and say, look, I want to tell you, I want to give you a gift, or however you want to approach a person and witness and give the Bible on. Here lately, some waitresses at restaurants, good place for me, you know, and you'll find people, you know, when you do approach them, will be Christians. And what I do then is, hey, please witness to someone else. You become the witness and pass it on. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you,
David. Yeah.
91 million people? 91 million.
And our goal this year is 95 million. The end of May we'll know when we get our figures.
95 million copies of the Word of God. You can't even fathom.
In over 95 languages they're published in.
I thought about that this week with Al, because we turned off every other voice, but really we heard the only words we'll hear through all eternity. And our languages, our personalities, our cultures, even our religions, all fade away in eternity. And the only one eternally settled and fixed thing in the heaven is the Scripture. Please talk to David if you'd like to be a part. We are a part, but as a church, but I also want you to look at individual things. But the message that David presented, I want you to get, and that is the Word of God is precious and efficacious. It doesn't return void. There's only one day that God hallowed. He made seven. But only one of those days did he make it holy. It's interesting to me, he made holy the day he told us to do absolutely nothing. Oh. See, he doesn't need our help. The word is efficacious. He speaks it, he presents it, and we just believe it. All we have to do is believe it. Thank you for the work of the Gideons. And I think it's fitting, having heard about the Word of God presented, the written Word of God, for us to celebrate that. For one day, in heaven, we'll basically just do two things. We will truly taste and see that the Lord is good. We'll hear the Word of God, we'll be in the presence of the Word of God, and we'll be at that banquet table together. For this is the Word lived in our midst. For Jesus Christ was the eternal Word of God, made flesh for us, and having been made flesh to provide an access for us on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and having given thanks, he blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and having given thanks, he blessed it and he distributed it, and he said, "This is my blood shed for you, the blood of a new covenant, of full forgiveness and remission of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you partake of the very body and blood of Jesus Christ." We thank you, our Father, for the goodness of your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the work of those throughout the years that have been blessed to give your word out. We know beautiful are the feet of those that carry the word of the Lord. And we thank you for how your word has been carried around the world. And we know, for your word tells us, that one day every tribe will be represented. There will be people from the four corners of the world who stand and praise the power and the goodness and the preciousness of the Word of God. We thank you that your Word creates that which it demands. And we thank you that your Word calls us to healing. Lord, we are not worthy that you would enter into our house, under our roof, but all you need to do is say the Word, and our soul will be healed, and that completely. May we come forth and taste and see that you are good. May this bread and this wine become for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be the body of Christ redeemed by your blood, set forth into the world, proclaiming the precious word of God. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.